This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله تعالى وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد الله tells us in the Quran المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا The wealth, money and children are a beauty of this life And Allah here is telling us something that we know, something that we feel He affirms it subhanahu wa ta'ala That having children is something that is desirable, is filled with joy. It is something that in the nature of humans, something they seek naturally, even without someone having to tell them so, even though in the modern age our fitra has shifted considerably, but is still in the fitra of humanity, having children is something that they desire and it fills somebody's lives with joy. And you see in the Quran that among the things that the righteous are asking Allah Azza wa Jal for is children, but not only children, but pious and righteous children. So you see Zakariya alayhi salam, when he says, وَكَانَتِ مَرَأَتِي عَاقِرًا فَهَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ وَلِيَّا يَرِثُنِي وَيَرِثُ مِنْ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ وَجْعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَّا He's explaining to Allah Azza wa Jal in the dua, Allah knows very well. He says, my wife cannot have children, so grant me from you a wali, a righteous, righteous child who will inherit from me and from the household of Ya'qub alayhi salam. Inherit what? Of course, inherit the prophethood. What Allah loves. وَجْعَلْهُ رَبِّي رَضِيَّ Ya Allah, make him pleasant in his religion, in his character, So people will be pleased with him and he will be pleased with you, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Grant me such a child. In another space, he says, هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْلِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَاء When he saw what Maryam, رضي الله عنها, when he saw that karama, she having the food, with no one presenting that or bringing that food for her except directly from Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, Hunalika, at that moment, he prayed to Allah Azza wa Jal, grant me a righteous progeny. And also in the dua of the righteous, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lilmuttaqina imama. Ya Allah, grant us from our spouses and from our children what will please our eyes. And make us role models for the righteous. So in that dua, that righteous person who is every one of us, if we decide to be righteous, we're asking Allah Azza wa Jal, grant us righteous spouses. Because you're not going to have righteous children without righteous spouses. And grant us righteous children who will be pleasant to our eyes, pleasing to you and pleasing to us. And also included in that dua, make us also pious enough. That others, when they look at us, they want to follow in our footsteps. Role models. وَأَصْلِحْ لِي فِي ذُرِّيَّتِي Also in the Qur'an. Fix my progeny. And here, specifically, it means fix my children and the children of my children and so on. So in my dhurriya, in my extended dhurriya, make them righteous, Ya Rabbal Alameen. So there is this dua which emphasizes what? That it is a great pleasure to have such a thing. But as it is a ni'mah, you understand that it's a responsibility as well. Whenever Allah gives you a ni'mah, He's also testing you with that ni'mah. To see what do you do with it? And how do you handle it? And does it bring you closer to Allah, or do you waste it? And does it take you away from Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? So when Allah says in the ayah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, all you who have iman, protect yourselves and your families from a fire that is fueled by rocks and fire. Meaning a very intense fire that feeds on these things to inflame and further destroy. He says what? Protect yourselves and your families. So now when you get married, you now have the added responsibility of protecting yourself from hellfire and your spouse. And when you decide to have a child, now you have the added responsibility of protecting that child also from hellfire. So included in that command, anything that brings you and them closer to Allah should be followed. And anything that should take you away from Allah Azza wa Jal should be avoided. Not only for you now, but now you're responsible. You are a ra'i, you're a shepherd. You will watch over them to see what is pleasant to Allah. Bring them closer to it and it to them. Encourage them to love Allah Azza wa Jal, to worship Allah. Teach them. Be that role model that will inspire them. And anything that will take them away from Allah Azza wa Jal, you should run away from it. And you should also drag them away from it. And Allah will ask you about all of that in combination to see, did you preserve that ni'mah or not? So we often talk about the rights of the parents, and it's important to talk about the rights of the parents. But notice that Allah Azza wa Jal also commands us to observe the rights of the children as well. Allah says, وَوَصَيْنَا الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدَيْهِ, we ask the human being to take care of his parents. And Allah also says, يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ, Allah also asks you to take care of your children. يُوصِيكُمُ اللَّهُ فِي أَوْلَادِكُمْ. And some of us think that once I have a child, my main responsibility is financial. I need to be a good provider. And I need to make sure that they go to a good school and graduate from that into a good university. And from that, take a good job. So our imagination of responsibility and success is purely materialistic. Enough money, they eat, they drink, they have a shelter, they graduate, and they get married, and it's simply a materialistic success. And we says yes and no. Yes, you have materialistic financial responsibilities, but these are not the most important of responsibilities. To address the financial responsibility, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كَفَى بِالْمَرْءِ إِثْمًا أَن يُضَيِّعَ مَن يَقُوتُ, it is sufficient sin for someone to neglect the ones that he has to provide for. Meaning here, financial neglect. You have children, you have a spouse, and you need to support them, but out of laziness, stinginess, or what have you, without no excuse, you don't spend on them. This tadhi' is very sinful. And someone, everyone, has to be responsible enough that when you say, I'm going to get married, I'm going to take care of that person who I'm going to bring into my life. When I'm going to have a child, I'm going to be taking care of that child that I'm bringing into my life according to your own means. But here, this hadith is talking about financial responsibilities. And unfortunately, at times, we have some fathers who neglect their children and neglect their families, and they go off somewhere and they do not support them. And Allah will ask you about this. You decided to get married and you decided to have children. And you have to take care of them. But if that's the case, when it comes to financial responsibility, what do you think about it when it comes to moral religious responsibility when you have a child and you neglect them and you do not teach them? Allah Azza wa Jalla is going to ask you about all of that. Will ask us about the fact that when we had these children, and He said, عليه الصلاة والسلام, كل مولود يولد على الفطرة, every newborn is born on the fitrah. And fitrah is explained as this pure innate nature, and also is explained as Islam. Meaning in them at that moment when they're very young, they have Islam in them. And then he said also, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, continuing that hadith, فَأَبَوَاهُ يُهَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَصِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. It is his parents who turned him to become Jewish or Christian or Zoroastrian. It's not the fitrah of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this means that when Allah gives you this child, he's giving you a Muslim on the fitrah. Yes, they will have individual, peculiar traits to them. Some are stubborn, some are social, some are reclusive, some are inquisitive. You have to know these individual traits in them and cultivate all of that. But Allah Azza wa Jalla had given you something that you could mold into almost anything. This person could be righteous or very wicked. Someone who is productive or very destructive. It depends on what do you do and how much effort you put into raising that child. You could make him a good Muslim with the help of Allah Azza wa Jalla and with dua. Or he could be a gangster. It depends on what you do and how much you invest. And if you could turn a person from a Muslim into a kafir based on what you teach them, you can understand your influence. You could be a very positive influence or a very destructive, traumatic influence in the life of that child. So understand the fragility of that human being that you have right next to you. And he's looking up to you, male or female, father or mother. He's looking up to you to see what do you do and how you act and how you respond. And he's going to copy all of that and reproduce it later. So when you see his manners later on, you are seeing the reproduction of your manners and reproduction of your investment or neglect manifest in him. So you see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, "Muru awladakum bis-salati lisab," command them to pray at the age of 7. Means that there is here a moral obligation on you, not to simply say, "I'm providing and that's it." Not to simply say, "I'm going to ship them to somebody else to teach them, or I'll bring them and drop them in the masjid, somebody else will be teaching them," and thinking that that is the limit of your responsibility. The first teacher that your children have is you. And they're looking at your salah, and looking at your conversation, and looking at your emotions, and looking at how you respond to them when they ask you questions. And if you have a good connection with them, you'll be able to continue to influence them later on in life. And if you are distant, there is no chance for you to be able to influence or to direct, because there's already a gap between you and them. See, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you see in his seerah, he was very close to his children, and he's very close to his grandchildren, alayhi salatu wa sallam. And because of that, they loved him, they listened to him, and the rest of Muslims around loved that, and they could see that from him, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So when it came, for instance, to Fatima, his daughter, radiyallahu anha, one of the instances, Fatima knocks on the door. He goes to the door, alayhi salatu wasalam, receives her, goes back with her, and he sits her right next to him. And he honors her, and he kisses her. And that is the love that he had for Fatima, radiyallahu anha. And it is very well known with Al-Hasan Al-Husayn, radiyallahu anhuma. He would kiss them abundantly. And he said, "Man la yarham, la yurham." The one who does not have rahmah will not receive rahmah. And when a Bedouin, a nomad, noticed how close Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was to his children, he said, "I've never kissed any of my children." He says, "What do I do if you have no rahmah in your heart?" So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was close, and your children want to see that you are very close to them. They want to see that you talk to them. They want to see that you care. And as we said, you are the very first person who will teach them. And your lessons have more impact than many of the other people that they will meet and many of the other teachers that they will encounter. And you see it there in the Quran also, where Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us about Luqman. When he says, وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. He says, Allah says, and remember when Luqman was giving advice to his child, and he said, "Oh my son, Do not commit shirk in Allah Azza wa Jal, because indeed that is great injustice. And just study the sequence of the ayah and how Luqman speaks for you to understand that there's already a connection between Luqman and his son. And how he addresses him, Ya Bunayya, O my son. A very gentle, a very emotional connection between Luqman and his child. And when he says to him what? The first advice that he wants to give to him is what? Don't commit shirk in Allah Azza wa Jal. That is the best legacy that you can leave to your children, is not the money that you have given them. It's not the house and the shelter. It's not the family name. It's not the reputation. But that they should have Islam. That is the greatest reminder. And Allah tells us about the Prophet of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ. That Allah Azza wa Jal tells us about Ibrahim and Ya'qub alayhim as-salam. That do not die except as Muslims. And then he tells us also, أَمْ كُنْتُمْ شُهَدَاءَ إِذْ حَضَرَ يَعْقُوبَ الْمَوْتِ. He says, you were not witnesses when Ya'qub was about to die. And he gathered his children. And he asked them, what will you worship after me? مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي قَالُوا نَعْبُدُ إِلَهَكَ وَإِلَهَ أَبَائِكَ. We will worship your ilah and the ilah of your forefathers. When you die, you usually concentrate on the thing that matters the most to you. Some people, when they die, they gather everybody and they will say, what are you going to do with the money? What are you going to do with the house? What are you going to do with this and that? The inheritance of the prophets of Allah, and indeed the most precious of thing, is what will you worship? Who will you worship after? Hold on to Islam. Hold on to your tawheed. Hold on to your aqeedah. Hold on to your salah. So this is a thing that you will have to teach to your children. And when Luqman continues, when he says, Ya bunayya innaha in taku mithqala habbatin min khardal fatakun fi sakhra aw fi samawati aw fil ardi yati biha Allah. He says, here he explains to his son what? Not simply worship Allah and that's it. Pray on time and that's it. He explains to him who Allah is. He says, oh my son, listen to it. Oh my son, if it's like a mustard seed and it is hidden inside a rock, and that is rock is in the heavens or in the earth, Allah will bring it. Explaining to him the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. Explaining to him the extent of the majesty of Allah. Not just simply say worship Allah, but worship Allah and love Allah and fear Allah and be close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you know Allah, you would want to worship Him. And this conversation is a conversation that should be had. It's not something that somebody else will do on your behalf. It is something that you need to live, to understand, to communicate, and to impress upon your children. And when your children see that, then your children will see that there is something valuable that their father and their mother is giving to them. When they see that the commands contradict the actions, contradicts the lifestyle, they'll immediately know that what is being said is of no significance. Yes, they tell us to pray, but it doesn't really matter. Yes, they tell us to read the Quran, but it has no impact on our lives. These are perfunctory duties, things that should be done simply to please the parents. But what really matters is something else that happens right after that. Ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide us in this dunya and in the akhirah and make us the best of parents. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه وأصلي وأسلم على رسوله محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد, لقمان رضي الله عنه, he continues by saying, أقم الصلاة وأمر بالمعروف وانهى عن المنكر واصبر على ما أصابك إن ذلك من عزم الأمور. After he addresses the worship of Allah عز وجل and who Allah is and how Allah should be esteemed, he also tells his son, أقم الصلاة, establish the salah. And that again, that command will not be effective unless that person sees from you that you've established the salah from a very young age. The salah really mattered to you. And a salah is performed not simply for the sake of what finishing the salah, but a salah that is a connection between you and Allah Azza wa Jal. So talk to them about why salah is important to you. Talk to them about why they should worship Allah Azza wa Jal. Not just simply bark at them, go and pray, and they resist him because they're playing with something else. Tell them why salah really matters. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ Once you establish that salah, then address the people around you. If you see something that is good, push it forward. If you see something that is evil, speak out against it. And have the strength to be the kind of person who can do this. وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ And be patient with the things that will happen to you. Tell them that this life will bring terrible things to you and me. But tell them that if you have patience, you will be able to be overcome that by the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. Teach them what patience is and teach them why they should be patient. How they should be patient with haram to stay away from it. Patience with ibadah so that they would do it despite the difficulty. And patience with Allah's decrees to understand why bad things usually or has sometimes happen and how to deal with that. And then when he finishes that, he addresses the adab. وَلَا تُصَعِّرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ وَاقْصِدْ فِي مَشِّيكَ وَاغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ It's not only now ibadah, but also adab. Don't be arrogant with people. Don't be arrogant around them. And when you walk, walk with a moderate pace, with dignity on you. And don't raise your voice when you talk. Indeed, the worst of voices are the voices of donkeys. That is a character, that is an adab that they will take from you. And you see here the spectrum of the conversation goes from tawheed into ibadah, into how you deal with people, into the manners and character that you should have. Do we have these conversations with our children? Do we tell them these things? Do we showcase these things? Are we intimate enough and close enough to them that we can have these conversations? There are obviously a generational gap between a father, a mother, and their children. But you can bridge that gap. The gap, of course, because there is culture, and the culture is very different. Things change rapidly. There's a difference in age, and you have experiences and wisdom that they do not have yet. But basically, the human condition does not change. All of us understand what loss is, what despair is, what hope is. And we hope for the same thing. We wish for the same thing. We're afraid of the same things. So you can talk to your kids and they can talk to you. And you should be comfortable enough, close enough to talk to them about things that are happening around them. And for that, you need to acquaint yourself with that. What is happening at their school? What is happening in their neighborhoods? What are they reading? How are they spending their time? You can't just simply hand them a phone and tell them spend as many hours on it as you wish, or hang out with friends that I do not know about, as many hours as you wish, and expect them to be righteous after that. Expect for your words to matter to them. If you have not inoculated, if you have not established a presence mentally in their heads of what is right and what is wrong, you cannot allow the cultural trends to come and sweep them off and expect that they still will be okay. You have to put limits, and these limits are important until they are old enough for them to make their own choices. But social media at a young age, subhanAllah, even for adults who are completely fully formed, it is very toxic. You understand that? Social media for adults in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, it's very toxic and destructive. And you're giving that to teenagers and you expect that they will grow normal. They should not touch social media, at least until they're after college. And I'm not exaggerating, until after college. You don't need it. You don't need it. Spend your time doing something more useful. You don't need social media at this moment. And you don't need bad friends. But be aware of what is around them so you could talk to them. So you could precede a calamity before it happens. This and this is happening. Let me tell you about it before you even encounter it. And instill in them the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and the fear of Allah. And let's emphasize both. Not just simply fear Allah. Fear Allah and fear Allah. And the fear of Allah is fundamental. It's a pillar of our iman. But also teach them at the same time that they should love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How to love Him. how to be close to Him. Because ibadah in its essence is about the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why this salah is important for you to establish a connection with Allah. Why this dua is important for you to continuously talk to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why the dhikr of Allah will bring life back to your heart and chase away anxiety and depression. Chase away the gloominess that you may feel because of what life throws at you. So teach them the love of Allah Azza wa Jal. And if you teach them these things, these will be the anchors that will keep them close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. But if we neglect them, and all of us, if we look at someone who neglected his children financially, we will blame them. Well, we would deserve more blame if we neglect them religiously. And ultimately, after you do everything, never give up making dua for them. No matter what they have done, no matter what their state they are in at this moment, no matter how young they are, and you should start actually before they are born. But even if they are young, at this age, keep making dua for them. Because if you make dua, you're asking Allah Azza wa Jal to take care of them. And if you do your job, and you must do your job, you cannot just simply rely, I'm just going to make dua and do nothing. Make dua and do your best. And when you make dua, you're asking Allah to take care of them. And who is a better caretaker than Allah? So we ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to protect our children and the children of our children. We ask Allah to make us righteous and make them righteous. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make them of the sadaqah jariyah that we leave behind. We ask Allah Rabbil Alameen to make them and us of the people of Jannah, not of the people of hellfire. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to keep us all close to you, away from what displeases you, and close to what pleases you, Ya Rabbil Alameen. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to guide us all to the straight path. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to make Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam our inspiration, our role model. We ask you, Ya Rabbil Alameen, to make us of those who love righteousness and strive towards it and hate wickedness and run away from it, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, grant us and our children good friends, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Ya Allah, grant us and them good company and good friends, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Make us of those who spend their times wisely. Make us of those who raise their children correctly. Make us of those, Ya Rabbal Alameen, who protect themselves and children from hellfire. We ask you, Ya Rabbal Alameen, to guide us to what you love and away from what you hate. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana وقنا عذاب النار. اللهم يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل، ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول وعمل. ونسألك الخير كله عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله، ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم. ونسألك من خير ما سألك عبدك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث، أصلح لنا شأننا كله، ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين. وأقم الصلاة.